Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin Daf Pei. We will begin on Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis, about 15 lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, on top of Daf Ayin Tes Amud Beis, we had learned the machlokes of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanon regarding the chiyuv or the ish, is there an isser of oisaves benoi by a koi? Tanakama said that there was. Rabbi Elazar said that there wasn't. And the Gemara tried to identify what is the case that they're arguing over. And the Gemara concluded at that point that their machlokes is actually a dual machlokes. One is that the opinion of the Rabbanan is choshen lezera av, that we do take the father into consideration. The se, I feel a mixer se. And Rabbi Elazar says, "Ein choshen lezera av." We're not concerned about the father, and we don't say seva feel a mixer se. Then the Gemara quoted a Gemara from a Masechta Beya that said a koi should not be slaughtered on Yontif, because we don't know if it's a behema and chaya, and there's a problem then with the kisui adam. And the Gemara tried to understand what is the case that Mishnah refers to. And where we left the Gemara was, that's referring to a situation where the father is a chaya, the mother is a behema, and therefore, according to Rabbanon, we don't know how to look at this animal, because the question is, do we take the father into consideration? Because the halach of kisui adam only applies by chayis, or do we not take the father into consideration? And the Gemara says, if that's pshat in that Mishnah, that the reason we shouldn't shech the koi in yontif, because we're talking about that type of a koi, whose father is a chaya, mother is a behema, and the halach of kisui adam is only by a chaya, and therefore the question is, should we take the father into consideration or not? So the Gemara makes the following observation. Obviously, by explaining that Mishnah Masechta Beya that way, it's obvious that to us, the Rabbanim is Sapkulahu. The Rabbanim have a question, what do we do with the Zera Av? And must be that if the Rabbanim have a question, it must be the opinion that Rabbi Elazar says, Pshitalei, that we don't take the father into consideration. Ein Choshen LeZera Av. There's a din in the Torah. The Torah says that from a behema, and we have to emphasize again, from a behema, does Roi L'chai of a keva have to be given the arm, the cheek, and the stomach? And here too we have a brisa. The brisa says, has Roi L'chai of a keva, noigin b'koy b'kloyim, they apply by koy and klayim, and b'leza omer, klayim, if this animal is a product of a bom and aizm and a rochel from a goat and a sheep, so the animal is certainly a behema. And as I just said, whenever you have a behema, even though it's a klayim, you chay b'matanis, but if the animal is a koi, then you put them in a tanis. So we have here machloikis, again, between Rabban and Rabbi Elazar, if there's a chiv to give matnas kahuna from a koi. And now the Gemara again tries to analyze exactly what type of a koi does this price refer to? The Mayaskin, who is the koi that this price is talking about? Ilam v'tayish habal tzivya. The father is a behemoth, the mother is a chaya. V'yolda. And that it has a child. And the question is there chiv v'matnas kuna from that child? So Bishlam Reb Elazar, the opinion of Reb Elazar is very understandable. Because Reb Elazar's opinion is ksava seva fila mixasel lo yamrinin. And therefore, since this animal is only 50% behema, because its mother is a chaya, and that isn't enough to have a chiv for matnas kahuna. But, asked the Gemara, el rabbonon, let's understand the opinion of the rabbonon. Ned ksavri seva fila mixasel. The rabbonon indeed are of the opinion that it doesn't have to be a full-fledged seva. So let's think about this situation. Again, the father is a behema, the mother is a chaya. And we've also learned that there's a question according to the Rabbanan of Choshen L'Zera Av. So, the Kohen now is of coming to this individual for his Matnas Kohuna. So more than 50% the Kohen doesn't even have a claim for. Because this animal is a combination 50% Behemoth, 50% Chaya. And as I said a moment ago, from a Chaya you don't give Matnas Kohuna. So the most the Kohen could demand is 50%. But now says the Gemara, and that's what presumably the Rabbanan is saying, that you have to give the Kohen that 50%. But why? If the Rabbanan have a question, as we learned at the beginning of today's shiur, if Choshen L'Zera Av or Ein Choshen L'Zera Av, it's not clear to the Rabbanan that we follow the Zera Av. So we have a rule throughout Shas, Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. So when the Kohen approaches this person for the 50%, because he says the father of this animal was a behemoth, the person, the owner of the animal, should respond, bring me a raya that we definitively a choshish lezarav. And until you could bring such a raya, I don't have to give you anything. Bishlam behal galo yavlein, the Gemara says this. 50% the Kohen was never entitled to either palga, but the other 50% from the fact that the father is a behemoth, Lay, why can the owner of this animal not be able to say to the Kohen, I siraya the Choshen L'Zera'av, bring me a definitive raya that the fact that its father is a behemoth is a factor, v'shkol. So why did Rabbanan say that they get something, they should get nothing, the Kohen should get nothing? So that can't be the case. Ella, what must be the case? B'tzvi ha'bal t'yosha. The father's a chaya and the mother's a behemoth. The Yolda. So now the Gemara asks, we still don't understand. Bishlam Rabbanan, the Rabbanan said that you have to give Matnas Kuna. What did Rabbanan mean when they say you have to give Chayiv? They have to give Chasi Matanis. Why? Because the mother is a behema, and when you give, and the mother is a, so the mother certainly is taken into consideration, and she's 50%, and we'll say when the Brisa says that the Rabbanan say you have to give Matnas Kuna, it means 50% Matnas Kuna. But ask the Gemara, Rebbe Lezer, who according to Rebbe Lezer was saying, Ein Choshen L'Zera'av, we don't take the father into consideration. So we only take the mother into consideration. And in this case, what is the mother? The mother's a behemoth. El Rebbe Lezer, L'chai B'kul Matanis, you should have to give the entire Matnas Kohuna. Because all you look at is the mother, and in the case that we just discussed, the mother's a behemoth. And Rebbe Lezer actually says in the Braisa that you don't have to give any Matnas Kuna. So that can't be the case. So the Gemara goes back. Loilim b'tzvi ha'bal t'yosha. The father is a chaya, the mother is a behema. V'yolta. Rebbe Lezer, and now we had a problem. If this is the case, we don't understand Rebbe Lezer's opinion. Explains the Gemara, Rebbe Lezer nami s'fukim sapkaloi echoshin l'zer av aloi. Rebbe Lezer has a question also, do we take the father into consideration? But says the Gemara, if that's the case, then Rebbe Lezer is not sure how to look at the father. And we keep the Rabbanan Mesapklu, and the Rabbanan aren't sure how to look at the father. Or Rebbe Lezer Mesapklu, so what's the machlokes? Says the Gemara, b'sev afil miksaseh, which means as follows. In this case, the mother is a behemoth. So if we take the father into consideration, but the child was also born from her father. So Rebbe Lezer's opinion is seva filo mixaseh, and therefore since this animal that was born is 50% seh, because the mother is a seh, and the mother is certainly always taken into consideration, you have to give 50% matnas kuna. Rebbe Lezer says, I don't know if I should take the father into consideration. And if I do take the father into consideration, I'll end up saying, then it won't be a full-fledged seh. And Rebbe Lezer says that whenever the Torah says seh, it means seh v'loy miksa seh. It has to be a full-fledged seh. And therefore, you won't have to give anything. Because this animal is 50% chaya, because our father is a chaya, and perhaps we take him into consideration. And as the Rishonim explained, so what we're up to at this point, is that the entire machlokes of Rebbe Lezer and Rabbanan, the Gemara will drill down further with this, is only over this concept that when the Torah says seh, doesn't mean it has to be a full-fledged seh or even mixed seh. But everybody is not sure about choshen l'zera'av, Everybody's not sure how to look at the Zera Av. And as the Rishonim explain, it took us over an Amid Gemara to get to this point. Why did the Gemara give this explanation immediately? Because it turns out here that there is no opinion that's Choshish for sure Lezera Av. And in yesterday's shiur we saw, in the previous shiur actually, we saw that it is the opinion of Chananya that Choshin Lezera Av, and Shmuel even Paskin like that. And the way we're learning now, nobody concurs with that opinion. So the Gemara was avoiding saying that explanation, but I had no choice. Interesting discussion in the Paiskim. So our Gemara is teaching us, say, that according to Rabbanan, the halacha say, v'afilim say, even if it's not a full-fledged say, it's considered a say. So the Paiskim ask, we know that one of the common issues that come up when we think about an esrig for Sukkos is that it shouldn't be an esrig hamorkif. That it shouldn't be esrig that was grafted from fruit from another tree. And the question is why? If our Gemara is saying seva filo mixa se, so then you should say esrig va filo mixa esrig. So even if you have an esrig that was grafted from other fruit, why is the esrig, everybody's careful to try to avoid using an esrig that's a morkiv. Why? It's esrig va filo mixa esrig. So I saw a number of explanations on the Achroinim why that isn't an acceptable approach. One approach is that we can't make our own drushes chazal. The Gemara says in our Gemara that the Rabbanan indeed hold, and we'll discuss this more in a moment, sev afil mixaseh, but we have no right to say esrig afil mixaseh unless the Torah says it. Another answer that I saw is that the concept of esrig and the concept that we're discussing in our Gemara about Oysev Espanoi, Kisi Hadam, Shchita, all of these concepts are very different than the concept of an Esrig. Why? When we speak about an Esrig, the Torah tells us that on Sukkos we're obligated to take an Esrig. And it could be that an Esrig that's not a pure Esrig, that min is not an Esrig. The Torah wants an Esrig. Here we're not talking about is something a min or not. Here we're talking about is a din apply. Does the din of Oysev Espanoi apply? Does the din of Kisi Adam apply? It's a very different concept. We're not talking about describing the inherent nature of the thing. We're discussing does a rule apply or not. Another teretz is that since we find specifically on the first day of Sukkos that the Torah teaches us an Esrig HaChoser, if the Esrig is even missing the smallest amount, that Esrig is Pasul. So an Esrig that is also a Murkiv is a Chasr, because the part that's lemon is Chasr from being an Esrig. And the last Teretz that I saw, that probably other Teretzim, is that over here, by saying Seva, Filim, Mixa, Se, we have a Chumra. That not only when you have a full-fledged Se, Ayim, Mechuyiv, does the din of Oysev Espanoi apply, but even when you have a partial Se. When you say esrig vafilo mixas esrig, you end up with a kula. That even the esrig hamorkiv is a kosher esrig. When you only apply the concept of se vafilo mixas se when it results with a chumra, not when it results with a kula. So now that the Gemara has finally identified what is the basis of Rabbi Lezer's opinion and Rabbanan's opinion, the Gemara goes back to each one of the cases that we've discussed in the previous Amud. Amar Rapapa, Hilkach l'inyi Kisi Adam u'matanis, regarding the halach of Kisi Adam u'matanis, l'mishkachas, the only time that we will have the case, el b'tzvi al-ba'al t'yosha, the father is a chaya, the mother is a behema. The bein Rabbanan and bein Rabbi Lezer, as we've been learning, both Rabbanan and Rabbi Lezer, m'sapkuluhu, aren't quite certain. Do we take the father into consideration or not? And the machlokes is beseh v'afilu mixaseh. And let's think about it. By the case of Oysev Espanoi, the Rebbe Lezer holds there is no problem. The Rabbanan hold there is a problem. It's very understandable. Rabbanan hold that even if it's a mixaseh, there's a chiv Oysev Espanoi. The mother is a seh. So that's what is a chiv Oysev Espanoi. Rebbe Lezer, on the other hand, what is his opinion? That it has to be a full-fledged seh. And perhaps we take the father into consideration. That's why there's no chiv kisui adam. That's the din by kisui adam. Matanis, we just finished explaining. Rabbi Elazar says that, again, we said it's talking about a case, the father is a chaya, the mother's a behemoth. According to Rabbanan, that's enough to have a chiv kisui adam, because it's certainly mixaseh. Rabbi Elazar said mixaseh is not enough to make chiv of matanis. Linyan ois vespenoi. Regarding the situation of ois vespenoi, mishkachsla, when will be the case? It makes no difference. Bein b'tai shabalat sivya, whether the father's a behemoth and the mother's the mother's a chaya, or vice versa. Tzvi abal tiyosha. And the Gemara explains itself. B'tai shabalat sivya. When the father is a chaya, a behemoth, and the mother's a chaya, l'sura. Everybody will agree that you have to be worried. The Rabbanan Savri, the Mechashin Zarav. Perhaps we have to look at the Zarav. And the father here is a behema, and the opinion of the Rabbanan is Seva Filam Xasamrinan, Vosser. And therefore, according to Rabbanan, you will have a problem. Rabbi Loza Savar, Na Nami the Mechashin Zarav, and the father here indeed is a behema. And when you have a behemoth, you have a problem, oises benoi. But the halach is, seva fil mitzasel amrin. It's only the father that's a behemoth. And that isn't enough to make a chiv of oises benoi. Now the case, b'tzvi haba al tiyosha, when the father is a chaya and the mother is a behemoth, the machlaikas will be regarding malchus. Rabbanan tzavri, nae nami de chashin lezera av, even though we do take the father into consideration, but we certainly take the mother into consideration. And the mother's a behema. And the fact that its offspring is not completely behema doesn't make a difference. Because the opinion of the Rabbanan is, Seva filamik sasamrinan, it's enough for Malkinale that we should give Malkus. Rabbi Elazar, on the other hand, says, Isur Ika, why is there an Isur? Because we have to be concerned that the mother is a behema. And perhaps that's the only thing to look at. But Malkus Lekka, we can't give Malkus. Isurik, and the Gemara explains itself. There certainly is an Isur Dema Ein Choshen L'Zera'av. Maybe we ignore the father, and all we look at is the mother, and therefore if all we look at the mother, is Samal Yehi. On the other hand, Malkus Leka, we wouldn't be able to give Malkus if somebody violated, in this case, the din of Isis Benoi, because Dema Choshen L'Zera'av, maybe we do take the father into consideration, and the father is a Chaya. And once the father is taken into consideration, and the father's a chaya, v'seva filo mixas aloyamrinin, that isn't enough to be chaya for ois v'espenoi. And it's interesting, Rashi says, it'll therefore be a situation of sra sofik. As we're going to discuss in the shiurim, we've discussed it already, when we don't know for sure what the person is doing is an aveira, the sra that he's given is called a sra sofik. And the halacha, according to most opinion, is that when somebody didn't get a definitive asra, you can't give him an einish. And here it's not a definitive asra. Although, the Mefarshim asked, why did Rashi have to say this explanation? Rashi could have just said a simple explanation. Because like the Gemara said, we don't know, is there a chiyuv ois v'espenoi or not? Because if we take the father into consideration, Rabbi Elazar will say there is no chiyuv. If we don't take the father into consideration, then there is a chiyuv. Why do Rashi have to introduce the concept of Asra Sofik? Ask the Mefarshim. The Mefarshim say a beautiful explanation. They say, Rashi purposely, deliberately included here the concept of Asra Sofik. Because if the entire issue on the table here were just the Sofik, then it would be a Sofik Daraisa. And we know that Halacha is Sofik Daraisa, we go to Chumrah. So Rashi couldn't just say, according to Rabbi Elazar, there's a Sofik, and since there's a Sofik, we can't give Malkus. Why not? Isn't there a rule? And Rashi's opinion, there are Rais and other places in Shas, that Sofik, the Rais, L'chumra, is Midaraisa. So why don't you give Malkus? That's why Rashi had to say, the problem is not the Aveira. The problem is the Asra. Since he can't give a definitive Asra, that's why there is no Malkus. The question is, why is this considered Asra Sofik? If a Sofik derises L'chumra to the degree that it's considered that you did the Aveir, then the Asra should be a real Asra. Says the Gemara. Amar of Yehuda. And the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara is as follows. Our Gemara now begins discussing what is the status of a koi? And it'll be relevant to some of the halachas that we learned. So the Mefarshim say, the Rishonim say, that if we look at the previous Amid, the Gemara has spoken about a koi in three different situations. It's spoken about a koi regarding Oysev Espanoi. It's spoken about a koi regarding Shechita on Yontif. And it's spoken about a koi regarding Matnas Kuhuna. When Al Gemara now begins a discussion about a koi, it's only regarding the question of Shechting it on Yontif. That, as we said earlier in our shir, the Mishnah, the Gemara Masechta Beis says, you can't shecht the koi on Yontif, because now you don't know what to do. Because should you do Kisui Adam, because it's a chai, should you not do? And Rabbi Yehud, because it's a behema. And now the Gemara begins to explain what is the basis of that Mishnah. The other Mishnayos and Braises that were quoted have not, this explanation that the Gemara now will get into has nothing to do with those Mishnayos and Braises. That will have to rely on the explanation that we just finished giving. Says Rabbi Yehud, the koi barrier b'fnei atzmahi. Koi is an independent barrier. V'loichri b'chom chazal did not decide. Imen behemahi, imen chaya. If it's behemah or chaya. And therefore the Mishnah is very understandable. It may be a behemah, and therefore there's no din of Kisui Adam. And therefore, as we said yesterday, taking the earth to do Kisui Adam is moving muksa for no reason. On the other hand, there may be a chaya, and you're obligated to do it. What should you do? Avoid shechting. Rav Nachman Omar, koi ze ayil habar. He says that the koi is a ayil habar, and we know that ayil is a chaya, and therefore, according to his opinion, a koi is considered a chaya. Says the Gemara, kitanoi. Actually, this discussion, says the Gemara, of what is the status of a koi is machloikus tanoim. And I saw the Mefarshim have two ways of explaining this braisa. I was always used to understanding the braisa, and that seems to be posh pshat in the Gemara, is that there is an animal that's a koi. We all know what the animal that what is the animal that's in front of us. Now the braisa quotes no less than four opinions. What is the status of this animal? That's posh pshat. Another pshat is that they were talking about four different animals. There's one animal that's this. There's another animal that's that, and there's no necessarily machloikas because they're talking about different animals. But we're going to learn the simple pshat. Koi, za'ayil habar. A koi is considered an ayil habar, and therefore it's considered a chaya, as I said a second ago. Yesh Aymer, very much in line with the explanation we gave until this piece of Gemara. A koi is a hybrid of a taish and a tzivya. And as we explained, it could be either way, the father, the goat, and the mother, the deer, or vice versa. Rav Yossi Aymer, as we just said from Rav Yehuda, koi bari b'fnei atzma, it's a new type of category, and Chazal didn't identify imin chayi min behema. Should be considered a chayi behema. Rav Shimon Gamliel Aymer, min behema hi, it's a type of behema. V'shah b'is t'shoy hoi megadlin, mehen, they were raised with b'is t'shoy, some say it's the name of a family, some say it's the name of a place, adorim adorim. And like Mefarshim explained, by the Gemara saying that adorim adorim, that they raised herds of it, that is the proof that it's a behema. Because from behema, you raise herds, not from chaya. Interesting to note that in the Shulchan Aruch says that there is such an animal that we have to be concerned falls into this category. Shulchan Aruch calls it a buffalo. And we don't know what to do with a buffalo. And where is it relevant? It's relevant to a number of halachas. The first halacha is regarding Kisui Adam. And therefore, the Paiskim, the Rama already says that if you shech the buffalo, be careful first to shech a bird. By bird, there's certainly a chi of Kisui Adam. Make the bracha on the Kisui Adam of the bird, and then shech your buffalo and do Kisui Adam, and have in mind the bracha from the bird for the buffalo, because we don't know if you can make a bracha on the Kisui Adam of a buffalo. It may be a behemah, and we know a behemah is not mechuyim in Kisui Adam. Another place that it's relevant is that as we're about to begin learning, there's a question. It may be in the family of an ayol, it may be in the family of a shor, it may be in the family of an eiz. And the halacha is that a shofar on Rosh Hashanah should not be taken from a shor. So now it may be a form of a shor. And if it's a family of the shor, you shouldn't use its horn for a shofar. And that indeed is the halacha, that we don't use buffalo horn for a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. In general, there's an interesting discussion about the kashrus of a buffalo. Because we learned earlier in our Masechta that a bird we only eat with Mesoira. The Rishonim, Rashi already said it. We have to have a Mesoira about a bird that it's kosher. A Behemah Chaya, you don't have to have a Mesoira. Because the Torah is very clear what makes an animal kosher. It chews its cud and has split hoofs. So the question is, a buffalo clearly has those simanim. However, there's an interesting Chaya Adam, which the Chazan Ish agrees with that Chaya Adam, that says that even behemoths and chayas should not be eaten without a Mesorah. And the American buffalo was only found in America. They didn't have a Mesorah. There was nobody here till a couple hundred years ago. So do we have a Mesorah on American buffalo? Interestingly, when we had this question, we discussed it with Rav Osner. And Rav Osner said that even though the Chazan Ish was machmer, Pasha Pshat and Shulchan Aruch is that, and that's what it says in the Torah, that if it has the simonim, that's all that's needed by Behem B'chaya, and if it has the simonim, you could give Ashgacha. Says the Gemara, Amrav Seira, Amrav Safra, Amrav Hamnuna, Hani Izidabala, there were these wild goats, Ksheris L'gav Mizbeach, they can be used on the Mizbeach, because the Aloch is, only an animal that's in the family of a Behema may be brought on the Mizbeach, not a Chaya. What is the basis for this opinion? Says the Gemara, Savlok Yehodan Rav Yitzchak. Esam behemus mona kosef. The Torah mentions 10, the Pasuk says, Shah, Sek, Savim, Seizim, Ayo, Vitzvi, Vyachmoy, Vyachmoyer, Vak, Vadish, Vesov, Zemer. So the first animals that are mentioned, Shah, Sek, Savim, Seizim, are all behemus. The next are Chayus. So the Gemara says, this easy bala is not mentioned in the pasuk. Vahani midalai choshel ba'adi chayis. It's not in the included in the group of chayis. Shmamino deizenu. It must be a form of an aiz. An aiz is a behema. You could bring an aiz for a carbon, and you could bring an easy bala. Maskul avrach ba'yakov. The pasuk mentioned, as I said, 3 behemoths and 7 chayis. Ask the Gemara, but maybe the way to understand the pasuk is Ayel V'tzvi, first the Pasuk mentions all the animals, and then the Pasuk says, which is a prat, and then the Pasuk says, Kol Behemim Afreses Parsa V'shosah Asesa. So we have a rule, going back to the brice that we say every morning, Shlosh Eser Midas. Klal Prat, Ein B'Klal El Mash B'Prat. What about Prat or Klal? Where first you have the specifics, and then you have the general rule, which is the case here. First it says the 10 types of animals, and then it says, Kol Behemah, it's Prat Klal, Nasa Klal, Moisef Ala Prat. And therefore maybe, the Torah meant other animals, just not mentioned. And maybe the Ezer the Baal is one of those animals, and it would have been considered a Chaya. Klal Prat, Kol Behemah Klal, and we have a rule, Prat Klal, Nasa Klal, Moisef Prat, Nasa Klal, Moisef Ala Prat, the Klal adds to this list in Inkein Tuva. And then we'll have many more than just these 7. And says the Gemara, Inkein Kolhani Prati Lamli. And Pshat is very beautiful. What is Pshat in the Derech HaLimud of Prat HaKlal? Prat HaKlal says that the Torah gave us a sampling. And then the Torah says, Klal, and you figure out the rest. So if the Torah says 1 or 2, we could understand that that's called a sampling. And then the Torah says, Klal, you complete the list. Here, how many pratim are there? As I said, as I read the pasuk, there are 10 animals. You can't call that a prat. If the Torah only wanted to give you a sample, 10 is not a sample. And therefore, that is in a legitimate way. But now the Gemara asks a different question. So the Gemara comes back to say that the Izim, the Baal is in the family of Izim, and therefore should be kosher, should be considered behema, and can be used as a carbon. If we look at that list mentioned in the pasuk that we read, one of the animals listed there is an akko. Nobody knows what the akko is. So maybe ask the, and the akko is a chaya. So maybe the ease of the battle is an akko. And if you can't use it then. The Torah mentions another animal, a toh. The Torah mentions a zemer. So maybe the Izdabala is an akoy or a ta or a zemer. So how are you so quick, asked the Gemara, to say that the Izi, the Bala, must be certainly the family of Izim, and it's certainly a Behema? We don't know what these animals are, and maybe those animals are the Izi, the Bala, and those animals are Chayis, and therefore they cannot be brought as a carbon. Amar Rav Chanan al Ravashi, Amem Sharet Habayu. Amem, on the other hand, he says, was certain that it's a Chaya. Why? Because he let them eat the chaylev. The halacha is the midaraisa, the chaylev of a behemah is asr, the chaylev of a chay is mutar. The fact that he let them eat that, it's a raya that he considered a chay, not a behemah. Continues the Gemara. Bar mnei abba berei de reb minyamin barchim rafuna barchia. Hani ezi de balu mahu gabim mizbeach. He asked it as a question. How do we look at the ezi de balu? Are they considered a behemah and they can be brought as a carbon or not? Amalei, to which he said, "At kamli plig Rabbi Yosi Rabbanon. Till now we only had a machlokes Rabbi Yosi Rabbanon el b'shar habar regarding the wild ox. The Tanan, there's a Mishnah in Masech the Klaim. Shar habar. The opinion of the Rabbanon is that the shar habar is in the family of shar min behemahu. Rabbi Yosi Amar. Rabbi Yosi says it's in the family of a chaya. Says the Gemara, what is the basis of their machlokes?" The Rabbanan Savri, Midan Tamrin Torbala, when the Torah says the Tor, and the Torah calls the Tor Shar Halavanan, so we see that the Shar, that it's considered a Shar. Rabbi Yaisi, on the other hand, in other words, when the Torah defines the Tor, it calls it a Torbala, which is the wild Shar, so we see it's called a Shar. And from here, say to Mefarshim, we see how much credence we should give to the Targum. Because the Gemara is using the Targum to tell us how to define something. Rabbi Yossi Sover, yes, the Targum is correct. But where does the word Ta appear in the Pasuk that we read earlier? Amongst the Chayis. So yes, the Ta is the Shar Habar. But that's only a proof that it's a Chaya, because it's mentioned amongst the Chayis. Midik HaChosh LeBechadi Chayis, since the Ta, which the Shar Habar is the Tor, it's clearly Minat Chayahu. Aval, Hani, but, says the Gemara, that's the question, that's the Machlokes Tanoim regarding the Shar Habar. But now, says the Gemara, when we speak about the Izi the Bala, the Rehakol, everybody will seemingly agree, the Minat the Ezninhu, it's in the goat family, and it should be considered a behemah. Maskla Rach Vrei Dravika, Vedimah Minat the Akininhu. Why? Going back to what we said earlier. The Pasuk mentioned an Akoi. An Akoi is a Chaya. And we don't know what an Akoi is. So maybe the Izi the Bala is the Akoi. And again, ask the Gemara. We're not exactly sure what the Ta and the Zem are. And maybe the Izi the Bala is in that family that will make it a Chaya. And says the Gemara, as it said earlier, Amema said that you could eat the chaylev of Izi the Bala, because not only did he not have a question, it was a behema, on the contrary, he was certain it's a chaya, and since it's a chaya, you're allowed to eat its chaylev. We began the parak by learning that if you, the din of Ayis Vespanoi, and we learned that even if the shechita was a shechita she'en ruya, that the shechita for itself was a disqualified shechita, that doesn't prevent the halacha of Ois Vespanoi to be applicable. But our Gemara now begins, this shir, tomorrow's shir, Mitzvah Shem, that Rav Shimon is of the opinion, the shechita she'en ruya ain't a shema shechita. That an invalid shechita is not a shechita, and therefore, it would have very, if the shechita, and has a lot of applications, the most notable application, which is relevant to us, is that if the shechita of the benoi was a shechita she'en ruya, so even though normally when you kill the offspring, as we've discussed for the last couple of dafim, you're over the avera of ois ves benoi l'sushchatu b'yom echot, but if it's a shechita she'en ruya, according to Rav Shimon, it wouldn't be an issue, because it's not considered slaughtered. There is one exception, that even Rav Shimon, who is of the opinion that shechita she'en ruya lo shema shechita, Rav Shimon holds that it is considered a shechita to be chayiv. And that's regarding the din of shechita chutz. as we learned in the Mishnah, we discussed, that if you shecht kachim outside the Azara, there's a chiv karis and a chiv malchus, it's a shechita shenaruya. Why is a shechita shenaruya? Because you don't know why is it a shechita shenaruya? Because you're not supposed to shecht it outside. So why are you chayiv karis? Why are you chayiv malchus? You didn't do a shechita. That, even Rav Shimon says, the Torah tells us you chayiv. Even though it's a shechita shenaruya. One more very important point. Even according to Rav Shimon, and the Gemara will explore this more, we're just saying this in introductory remarks. Even according, Rav Shimon is saying shechita shenaruya and ishma shechita. We gave the one exception to the rule. Why be the halacha when you did a shechita on kachim? Proper shechita on kachim. You shechted the carbon in the azara. Says Rav Shimon that that's never considered a shechita. Why is that never considered a shechita? Because what is the definition of shechita? If we think about the definition of the word shechita, the definition of the word shechita means that you slaughter an animal and then you can eat it. But when you shech the carbon, the shechita doesn't allow you to eat the carbon. You still have to have zrika. So even if you did a proper shechita on a carbon in the right place in the right way, it's not called a shechita, according to Rav Shimon, because you need the zrika. The question is, isn't there a rule of kala oimer lizra kazaruk dami? So the fact is that it could be considered like it's after the zrika. So there's two answers given by the Rishonim. One answer is, you only say kala oimer lizra kazaruk dami only after the blood is in the keli. Till then you don't say kala oimer lizra kazaruk dami. Or, kala oimer lizra kazaruk dami is only after the zrika. Here, before the zrika, you wanted to say that the shechita alone is enough, that it isn't. So now the question is, one more question before we get into the Gemara. So if you think about it, every time you shecht an animal, it's not ready to be eaten either, because you have to do melicha to get out the blood. So the Farshim answered, the blood has nothing to do with the meat. The melicha has nothing to do with the meat. The melicha has to do with the blood. The zrika has to do with the meat. So you can't compare melicha to zrika. So begins the Gemara. Amar Rav Oshia, Kurmas Nissen, the like Rav Shimon. Our entire Mishnah cannot be consistent with the opinion of Rav Shimon that holds a shechita shenaruya lo yishma shechita. And as the Rishonim explained, the Gemara is going to prove this from the first three cases mentioned. The truth is it can be proven from other cases in the Mishnah, just the Gemara is going in the order of the Mishnah to make its point. Mai. Midakatani. Let's learn the Mishnah. Kachim b'chutz, if the two animals were kachim. Harishin, for slaughtering the first animal b'chutz, yichayiv karis. Why yichayiv karis? As I said, for shchutei chutz, v'shneim psulim, both animals become posel, v'shneim soifkin v'sabayim. Why shneim soifkin v'sabayim? The first one gets malchus for shchutei chutz, the second one holds, you get malchus for oisav es benoi. Makes the Gemara's point. Michti, shemin alei Rav Shimon d'omer, shchita shenaruya lo shema shchita. An invalid shchita is not considered a shchita. So if so, says the Gemara, the first animal that was slaughtered, it was kachim b'chutz, it's not considered a shechita. Kama miktel katle, it's just being killed. It's not a shechita. Because it's shechita shenaruya, you're shechting it in the wrong place. You're shechting kachim b'chutz. So the first animal, the mother wasn't slaughtered. So if so, sheni miskab b'fnim hu. So if so, the sheni, the second animal, the child, is a perfectly fine animal that could have been brought in the Azara. There is no problem that you can't bring it in the Azara. Because its mother was slaughtered today, because its mother wasn't slaughtered. Kolos namel chayiv. The Mishnah says you only get malchus. So it's right if Shimon is wrong. Now the Behuda makes a very strong point here. He says, why is the Gemara say that the first one was miktel katl? So now the Behuda says a gewaldige point. He says, we've learned numerous times in Amasechta that if you shecht a treifa, you can't put something with your shechita, that it shouldn't be tamei. Why? Because you didn't do any avera with that shechita. Why would Allah if you shecht kachim b'chutz? Will it be tamei? Yes. Because since that shechita says the Noda B'Yehuda involved in Aveira, kachim b'chutz, that shechita cannot help at all. That's why the Gemara uses the word miktel katl. The next case, again says the Gemara, is a proof that our Mishnah cannot be consistent with Reb Shimon. Let's look at the next case. The Mishnah said, chulin b'fnim, if both animals were chulin, and you shechted them in the Azara, which you're not supposed to do. Shnein psulim. they're both disqualified for having shechted them where you're not supposed to. V'sheni soifikas aboim. And this, for the shechita of the second animal, you get malchus for ois v'espanoi. Makes the Gemara's point. Michti, again, shemin alei Rav Shimon, it is the opinion of Rav Shimon da m'shechita sheni ruhi lo shema shechita. So when you shechted the first animal in the azara, which you shouldn't have done, it was chumrim v'fnim, that isn't considered a shechita. Kama mikta kotli. So it's just killed. So sheni amai soifik saboim. Why would you get malchus for Isvus Benoi? When is the idea of Isvus Benoi? When you shecht the mother and then shecht the baby. You didn't shecht the first animal, you only killed it. And yet the Mishnah says you do get malchus for Isvus Benoi when you shecht the second one. The Hashem said the Gemara made the point the other way. Why do you get malchus? You didn't do a shechita. Because kach mifnim is a shechita shenaruya. So then you shouldn't get malchus for Isvus Benoi because it's not a ma'isa shechita. So you could have brought the raya that way. Third raya. The Mishnah said, if the first animal is kachem b'fnim, harishin kashem potter, nothing wrong, v'sheni sefik saboyim. Now when you shech the second animal, you get malchus, uposel. Ask the Gemara. Michti, again, the point that I made earlier in the shir. Michti, shemin alei Rav Shimon da m'shechita sheni ruhi lo shema shechita. According to Yehuda, according to Shimon shechita sheni ruhi lo shema shechita. Says the Gemara, according to Rav Shimon, shechitas kachem. Whenever you shecht kachem, nam is shechitas shenaruyah. It's always considered shechitas shenaruyah. Why? Because kachem, it isn't the shechita alone that makes you be able to eat the meat. Because the kama de loizorot dam, until you actually do the zrikas adam, lo mishtri basar. So if you shechted the mother first with a shechita, and it was a good shechita, it's shechita in the azara. Sheni and my sefik saboim apostle, why would you get malchus for oisves benoi? You didn't do a shechita. The first one you didn't shecht. And there's only a chiv of oisves benoi when the first one was slaughtered. Here the first one wasn't slaughtered because the first one was slaughtered as kachim and the Gemara has now told us that shechita of kachim is never shechita according to Reb Shimon. El shmami no. It must be the like Reb Shimon. That our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Reb Shimon. Ask the Marpshita. Everything we said is kachi isi, is obvious. What is Reb Oishia trying to teach us? Answers the Gemara. Shechitas kachim is tzrichalei. The last rule that we just said is the chiddush. Because what have we said? And you think about it, it's a gevaldige chiddush. You shecht a carbon. Perfectly fine. Still the Gemara say that's not called shechita. Why? Because it still needs zrika. Says the Gemara, one could certainly perhaps argue that tzalka data chamina, the shechitas kachim shechita ruyihi. Because why? What's the proof that the shechita should be considered a valuable shechita? Because what will be the halacha? In macher, if you didn't do a shechita on the carbon, you just killed the animal, the zot dam, and then you did the zrika, like mystery basar, you wouldn't be allowed to eat the basar, you wouldn't be allowed, it wouldn't be considered you did the carbon properly. However, if you shach it, if you shach the carbon, mystery basar, the basar is mutter to be eaten. The carbon is considered a valid carbon. So shouldn't that be a proof that shechitas kachim is considered a shechita ruihi? Kamash malon, that's why the Mishnah has to teach us, that's why Rabbi Shah had to teach us, no. That even though the shechita has a lot of value, because without the shechita you can never do the zrika, still, you cannot put the shechita of a carbon, as we explained, in the category of a shechita ruya. Why can't you put it into the category of a shechita ruya? Because it's not the shechita alone that lets you eat the animal. You need the zrika as well. And that's why our Mishnah that does call the shechita of kachem a shechita cannot be found in the opinion of Rav Shimon.